I remember one time when we were talking, Nick, you talked about the four people who walked in dog poo and their particular reaction to it. And I've been thinking about that, and like our ancestors way back, if you had a sort of a Pollyanna type who walked around and looked at the flowers and smiled and thought everything was wonderful, that person would have got eaten.
Oh, absolutely, eaten alive.
Yeah, so the warrior is the survivor.
As long as, so that, yeah, actually, this is a great point. So, as long as the worry does not reach a point to where it becomes crippling. So this is the, you know, the very famous work of two, I believe, English psychologists in the early 1900s by the names of Yerkes and Dodson, who looked at the study of anxiety and performance. And what they showed is anxiety is a very powerful improver of performance. However, there comes a point where that performance improvement reaches a peak and then begins to go down to the harmful side, kind of like the U-shaped curve. Now, one of the reasons that becomes important is for a lot of the patients I work with, as we talk about the kind of working towards what the treatment goals are, one of the things I make very clear to my patients is, I know you've come here wanting your anxiety to be completely eradicated, and the goal is to have no anxiety. And I tell them, look, if that's our goal, I would be doing you a terrible disservice. Anxiety is a very important friend that you have in life, because it makes you be, as you pointed out, you know, it makes you think a little bit about situations I'm entering into, plans, future events. So it's actually got a very powerful, important role to play. And what we want to do is, my patients are having anxiety to the point where it's kind of what we call pathological or impairing their life. I keep telling them the goal is not to get you down to zero, but get you onto the healthy side of the line or on the curve where it's helping you. It's your friend, it's your ally, rather than harming
you. That also is so interesting. But is there a sort of a middle road? Can we sort of catch the Pollyanna and get infected with a bit of that, as well as have the anxiety? Is there a balance?
Yeah, well, actually, that's really what a lot of cognitive behavior therapy is really focused on, is trying to get people to understand when they become consumed by worry. What they need to do is bring themselves back and look at, well, you know, what's the evidence that really supports that my worries, my ruminations, are actually significantly likely to occur, or realistic, or reality-based. And as they do the work, people are able to slowly, but very impressively, if they do the work, kind of deconstruct the framework that has supported their over-feared beliefs, and that they're able to come back to more rational beliefs, which do acknowledge, yes, look, sometimes things can go bad. And I need to be aware that sometimes life is going to be dangerous. But I also need to be aware that life is going to be dangerous no matter what I do, whether I, you know, walk from the living room to the kitchen. I don't need to sit there and do a risk assessment for that. So it's kind of helping people who are kind of too anxious understand, look, you know, yet bad things happen in life, but you're overestimating the risk, you're overestimating the probability, and you're potentially overestimating the consequences.
It's the root cause for having therapy, isn't it? To be able to get you back to that stage. But
yeah,
when,
absolutely.
When the environment around you is continually disrupted and continually provoking anxiety.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the interesting thing. Human beings, like their environment, are dynamic creatures. We're not static, and our environment is not static. You know, it is also dynamic, and it's changing. hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year.
Mm.
And so we're constantly, it's like when we drive, we're constantly making little adjustments. And that's kind of what we have to do mentally as well.
And I guess that's part of what you teach people to do.
Hopefully.
Yeah. On a local level too, I wanted to ask you, would you expect to see an increase in anxiety and fear, I guess, when in September, when the people who were previously on New Start and then it got lifted up to the job seeker go back to what is going to be, I believe, a little bit higher than New Start, but still under the poverty line? Do you think that there'll be like an epidemic of more anxiety?
Look, I suspect there probably will. One of the things that I've been thinking about is, given what's been happening in Victoria, given the fact now in the last couple of days we've noticed New South Wales has had a slight increase in cases, that whether the September 30th deadline is one that the federal government is going to stick to in regards to things like these extra payments, things such as increased access to telehealth. And given the fact all these federal programs, and we have a couple of states that are beginning to struggle again, I wonder if those programs might be extended, and hopefully people are feeling a little bit more optimistic. But I can't imagine if things do go backward, I think you'll see a significant rise in anxiety. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like. I hear from my patients what it's like to live on, New Start or on a disability pension. But, I've not lived like that, so I think it's hard for me to say I actually know what it's like.
But anxiety provoking for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Because there is a lack of, how do I pay my next bill?
Yes.
What do I do? What do I have to sell next to, make sure that the kids are fed?
How do I feed my children?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Which is a very basic instinct, isn't it?
I'm trying to think of the people who have done the work, and it was a big study based in the US but done globally, and they sent out, we'll show you how old the study is, I think it was done in the 90s, they sent out all around the world, I think it was 10,000 Palm pilots. I don't know if you remember those devices, the kind of handheld device that kind of pre-smartphone that you could send information on and do some basic things with. They sent them all around the world to people in large cities, people who are wealthy, people who were unemployed, people who were homeless. And they basically had to rate their happiness a couple of times a day and answer a bunch of other questions. And what that study showed quite interestingly is most of us, if you think of a scale of happy, of a horizontal line, and everything above that line is happy, and the higher you go up that line, the happier you are. You think of the line going vertically below the horizontal line, that's the kind of sad line, and the lower it goes away from the horizontal axis, the sadder you get. What the study showed was most of us, no matter where we live, no matter how much money we earn, live just above the I'm okay line. We actually don't live in a I'm incredibly happy state. Most of us live in a kind of, I'm okay. And in that study, the two factors that predicted who falls below the line into sadness were access to two things, and that was shelter and food.
Mm.
Those are the big factors that will drive, am I okay with my life, or am I sad about my life? And when you have instability about shelter and food, mentally we begin to struggle.
Yes, back to the basic Maslow's hierarchy, isn't it?
Mm. Well put.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. No, that's fantastic. I've really enjoyed this conversation because it's so current and topical right now. And it's sort of, I don't know about you, but I have no capacity to predict what's going to happen in a month's time.
I heard a wonderful quote the other day, and it's been attributed to three different people. Neil Bohr, a physicist, Yogi Berra, who was a famous American baseball coach, who was famous for bizarre comments, and possibly to Mark Twain. And the quote is, "We're terrible about predicting things, especially the future." Which I thought was a wonderful quote.
That is.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, once again, thank you very much. Unless you've got anything more that you'd like to add in this little episode.
Oh, look, that probably that sees me out.